gender ideology, education, marriage, and the application of spiritual truth. These are all issues that are at play in this midterm election, and they're issues our guests will discuss on this second episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, a podcast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. As Justin Arnott, the moderator of these conversations, said in episode one, we're not trying to direct anyone to any particular candidate or party. We're asking them to search the Lord on how to steward their responsibility in the public space. To help you do just that, we have another resource. It's a free downloadable guide by the same name as the podcast, A Biblical Perspective on Elections. It offers scripture, prayer points, a summary of some of the issues this election season, and insights from Franklin Graham. To download your copy of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, just go to billygraham.org/guide, or you can use the link in the show notes. For this podcast, we've assembled four people with unique perspectives on the importance of Christians going to the polls. So let's listen now as they introduce themselves and begin their discussion.
Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections. I'm Justin Arnott. I'm general counsel for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and I've got a few distinguished guests here with me, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
I'm Meg Kilgannon, a senior fellow for education studies at the Family Research Council, and I was formerly director of the Office of Faith and Opportunity Initiatives at the U.S. Department of Education.
And I'm Bob Paulson, editor of Decision Magazine here at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
I'm Pastor Vince Riley, senior pastor at Meeting Place Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and also a former festival associate here at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
I want to move to a discussion of some of the issues that are in the public discourse nowadays. One of the ones that's so important to me, because I think it really is the foundation for our way of government and I guess our way of life here in the States, is this freedom of expression. So if we're not free to say something, are we really free to believe it? And this is something that, you know, cancel culture has rolled, and even if it's not a religious belief, something that's unpopular nowadays can be shut down and that person marginalized or you know, canceled, so to speak. And so who wants to take a shot at talking about the significance in this upcoming election cycle of issues related to freedom of expression, faith-based values and beliefs? You know, what's at stake here?
Well, I think the onus really is on the voter, right, or the citizen who's considering voting, to be as informed as possible. And that's going to mean trying to get information from a variety of sources. And not, we all live in our bubble, you know, of our set of relationships that we have with people. And I think it's important when you're considering issues related to government and related to voting that you actively try to read information from a source that you think you disagree with. That is not going to confirm your bias, as they say, right? And really prayerfully consider that information. You may still disagree with it, but you may see that they have a point about this or that aspect of that issue that you hadn't properly considered before, that you're grateful to now know about and have the opportunity to reflect on and review in scripture and think about, right?
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, I always say, and I tell our congregation that, you know, your vote is your voice. Right. And so if you want to have a voice, vote. And so I think that's all we should encourage.
I think it's a fantastic point. I want to get to Bob because as a journalist, a career journalist, you have a lot to say about freedom of expression, I'm sure.
Yeah. And Decision Magazine for the last 10 years has covered a lot of, you know, court cases, different things where someone tried to shut down a person or an organization that they disagreed with. And we've seen so many examples of artistic expression and government trying to compel speech in the case of artists, you know, cake decorators or florists who would do a custom arrangement. And so one of the law firms that we follow a lot of cases with makes the point frequently that, you know, freedom of speech is for everyone. Everyone on both sides of an issue should be supporting the idea that this person should have the right to express themselves the way they believe. Mm-hmm. And yet there's always people coming in and trying to force it one way or the other.
So it should be of concern to us then that if there were politicians, for example, that were saying, I support trimming free speech rights, that's a dangerous path to go on. And that's what we see happening in academia these days. We send our kids to institutions in many cases now not to learn how to think, which is the classic view of a liberal education, but actually they're just being taught what to think and not to step outside of those lines. So yeah, I think this is a key issue for folks to be looking at as they're evaluating candidates and where they are on things. We have a great resource for you if you're interested in learning more. It's called A Biblical Perspective on Elections, which is also the name of this podcast, but it's a downloadable guide from BGEA, and you can find that at billygraham.org/guide. That's billygraham.org/GUIDE. Let's move to some issues that come out of scripture. You know, God's created order, for example, starts in Genesis 1, and this plays out in contemporary issues here in the realm of gender identity and same-sex issues, homosexuality. Who wants to take a crack at how those issues play in these midterm elections?
Well, the whole reason that I got into politics again, or into advocacy, was over one of these issues. In 2015, my county, where I live with my family, and we sent our children. We had homeschooled, sent them to Catholic school. They were in public school at the time. My county decided that they were going to add sexual orientation and gender identity to the non-discrimination policy in that county. And this would effectively, erase the difference between boys and girls in their experience at the school. And so I was just, standing in the kitchen doing the dishes with the radio on the news, listening to see what the weather was going to be, and the story was reported, and I thought, well, gee, that's going to be difficult. And the more I investigated the situation and the more I learned about it, the denial of the basic dignity of the human person that comes with that particular, with that ideology, gender ideology, that idea that it's possible for a child to be born in the wrong body is just so completely against any of the truths proclaimed in God's scripture. I just could not be silent. I mean, especially when you're talking about children, young children who can't defend themselves against these ideas. Right? This is a crisis. And so so many parents in my community were compelled to act and to speak out and found our voices. And I met a lot of wonderful people in that I never would have known otherwise, who are my friends to this day. And it led me, to working at the Family Research Council even now. And it was the people who, it wasn't only people who were inspired by a biblical worldview who were upset by this, right? There were feminists, there were lesbians who, they know the difference between men and women, right? And they were not happy about this situation. And it was such an education to me, a conservative Catholic woman who loses no friends virtually when I state these truths that I believe are true, to see these other women lose their jobs, lose their families, lose their friends for defending biological reality. What a witness that was to me. So engaging in politics, you know, it has a bad reputation. Oh, it's dirty, it's icky. It's never what you think it's going to be.
It's never what you think it's going to be, but there's also nowhere to go when we abandon just basic facts and
yes.
truth. Like, you know, the things that undergird the human experience are facts. I mean, we are born, we die. There is an atmosphere out there that supports life and all that. And if we start to tinker with the foundations that are actually factual foundations, not only are we deluding ourselves, but we're creating generations of confusion now within. And that's what breaks my heart. I think as Christians, our hearts should break for those that are struggling in these issues through whatever means they get to struggling with those issues. But I don't think we do anybody any favors in shrinking back from just telling the truth about these things. And I think that's why these elections at this time seem like they're so pivotal. And we hear that all the time, don't we, Vince? That we hear that this may be the most important election of our time. And it almost grows tiresome to hear that. But things just seem to get more bizarre and more bizarre in terms of the types of things that are coming out from under rocks, so to speak, to reconsider the reality of. Do you have any thoughts on that? You see this in your congregation too?
Well, absolutely. And you know, you think every election is important. And for Christians, you know, we should see this as the fulfillment of Scripture. It tells us that things are going to get worse. I mean, you know, it doesn't take us by surprise that we're seeing these things, and we're seeing the fulfillment of what Paul said would be perilous times. We are living in those times now. And so, but yet it calls for us to, as believers, to recognize and then realize that Scripture is always going to be Scripture. It's always going to be truth. And so we have to continue to look at what's happening today, Justin, through the lenses of biblical faith. And not to be shaken and to see these things as what God said will happen, but by the same token, recognize that this is one of the greatest times for believers, for us to be representatives of the kingdom and to show people the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And because you know, these desperate times are really calling for desperate measures in terms of people are hurting and trying to find truth, trying to identify what truth is. And so, you know, and we're hearing this now because we have gotten away from the absolute truth of Scripture. People now are living their own truth, you know, and people are asking the question, what's your truth? Well, what's your truth? What? Well, you know, that's because, you know, there's been a departure from what's really true that we find in the Word of God. And I think, you know, as believers, as we return back to this, you know, as we're not shaken, but as we return back to biblical truth, we're on a solid foundation. I think that's what it's going to take, you know, in this day. So we're in a great time to show forth what God is doing in our lives and the hope that's in Christ. And it may seem bleak at times because there's so much, but yet sometimes it's just sometimes, you know, we may be the only one, but, you know, we know how God can use the one, right?
That's exactly right. And I was just going to ask, how significant is it if somebody stands on one of these issues in the public space? Because there's so much pressure to conform, isn't there? So they stand out like a sore thumb, don't they, Bob?
Yeah. It reminds me of one of the recent bills in Congress, the Respect for Marriage Act, which would codify same-sex marriage. And more than 40 conservatives actually voted for it. And one thing that was particularly disheartening was that one of those people who voted for it said later, well, my pastor said I should probably vote for it. That kind of puts the responsibility back on the church to be teaching the truth. And I want to let people know about a resource that they might find helpful as they prepare to vote. It's Decision Magazine's special midterm election issue. And you just go to decisionmagazine.com and click the red button at the top of the page. It's a free digital download that'll help you to see how the party's positions compare with what Scripture says. And I think that's so important for Christians, not only to know what the parties stand for, but how well they align with Scripture.
And to be engaged in the public discourse. I mean, I think some of us don't want to get there again because it's messy. And, you know, there seems to be this dueling realities, you know, on the cable channels, for example. You can watch one and you get one experience in reality, and you watch another and it's a totally different one. But I think to be informing ourselves from a variety of sources and understanding that there's marketing going on, even in the names of this legislation. I mean, the Respect for Marriage Act, what does that mean? And, you know, I think we have to be wise in how we approach this. Similarly, and sort of related to, you know, God's created order and issues that, you know, we as Christians should be concerned about people that struggle in these areas, but we should also be concerned about the agendas that are related to them. And so, you know, the same-sex marriage, we just talked about in Respect for Marriage Act, codifying that. And are there other issues related to, you know, homosexuality or those things that are in play these days?
Well, I think that especially on the question of marriage, we need to keep in mind that anytime you address the issue of marriage, you are addressing the issue of parents. You're addressing the issue of family. And so the idea of the purpose for marriage and the purpose for family is very much centers around children. And are we as Christians thinking about what is best for children? Children have a right to their mother and their father. They have a right to know who they came from, who they are, biologically and through the generations of their family, right? They have a right to life. Children have a right to life. They have a right to their parents. They have a right to their innocence, right? And they have a right to their own bodies, their bodily integrity. That really covers a lot of the issues that are confronting the family and children today, that you see that in the spiritual war that we are in, ultimately, there's always a directed attack on the family, because Satan can never create, he can only destroy, and it is in the family that we create.
Meg, such marvelous perspective that you just gave us there, you know, the creative versus the destructive spiritual realities. But even more so, you know, the issue for many people these days is with respect to same-sex marriage or all this, is they realize that folks have the right to live whatever they want to live, and where does the line then cross over into how that impacts others? I think for many Christian parents nowadays, the issue really is, and you even commented on some of these earlier, I also have a right to teach my children who they are, why they were made, how they were made, and to delight in that, and to live according to their own beliefs, which are taught in the home. And I think for many voters, that's one of the issues in this election that is maybe different even than previous election cycles, where now the agenda, so to speak, and the government is coming to the home, or trying to come to the home, and tell parents even how to think and how to raise their children.
No, I think that's very true. And I think that we as a church have to accept some of the responsibility for having left the space, particularly in education. I'm totally for, if you feel like you need to homeschool your children or put them into a private Christian school, I am 100% behind you on that. And I will fight tooth and nail for your right to do that. But there's still 80% of children who are in public schools. And that means that most Christian families are putting their children in public schools. And so it is not okay for when I am advocating at the school board for a particular view regarding, let's say, gender identity, for the school to say to me, well, you can put your kids in Catholic school. That's not something that we're going to do here in public school. That is, no. Public schools are even for my Catholic children, right? They're for everyone, and everyone's rights and views should be respected there. And all children should leave that school unmolested, physically, spiritually, or intellectually, right? So this idea that we can wash our hands of the process or not be engaged is a dangerous one. We really do. It's a responsibility. We have the gift of faith. That's a gift from God. I'm so grateful for it. And I have a responsibility in that to not hide my light under a bushel, right? I have to see Christ in others and allow them to see Christ in me. At Family Research Council, we have information at our website, www.frc.org, information about life, education, and the family, and how that impacts elections.
And I know Franklin Graham, for example, has said it's our civic duty as Christians to do all we can to support candidates on federal, state, and local level who must most strongly support biblical values. And I know he's made the point that school boards is one of those, maybe one of the most critical places, because that's sort of the place where young minds are nurtured.
Sure. And Pastor, we were talking earlier, you had a background in law enforcement. So you're very aware of the intersection of education and law enforcement, where you're going to be making decisions as a community. Are you going to allow warrants to be executed on a campus in your community? Are you going to have school resource officers in school to keep children safe? This is something that is rightly debated and worked out at the very most basic level of government in your community, in your locality. And if we don't do it in our locality, then some other form of government further away from you is going to make a decision about that for you. And I bet you're not going to like it. So it's really important to be engaged at the local level, because there are hugely important issues that are in play in our local communities. And our worldview, our biblical worldview, is desperately needed in that space.
We've had with us here today Meg Kilgannon. Meg, thank you for your passion, for your interest, and for your service to Christ in this space. It's been a delight to have you. Bob Paulson, thank you for joining us here today. And Vince, thank you for leading the church in your community in some of these issues. Thank you all. Again, I'm Justin Arnott, General Counsel for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Thank you.
Our biblical worldview is desperately needed. A challenging way to end episode 2 from one of our guests, Meg Kilgannon. If you're enjoying this discussion here on A Biblical Perspective on Elections, would you tell other people about these podcasts as well? In the third episode, our 4 guests will explore the issue of abortion and the importance of prayer in the midterm elections. Speaking of prayer, it's our prayer that this podcast can be a helpful resource for you. And we've also got a companion resource you can have for free. It's a downloadable guide with the same name as the podcast, A Biblical Perspective on Elections. It features scripture, prayer points, a summary of some of the issues this election season, and insights from Franklin Graham. To download your free copy, just go to billygraham.org/guide, or you can use the link in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening to this second episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, a podcast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.